trekking across the universe, always going forward because we can't find reverse. Season's greetings. Welcome to FanCast, Trekking Across the Internet, TwerpCast Episode 20. This is the second annual special episode for the 12 Trek Days of Christmas. I would like to introduce you to executive producer and creator of the internet radio drama Star Trek Eras, Mr. Jim Caswell. Please don't expect a respectful introduction every week. This is just a one-time deal to deal out of respect for the topic this year.
And he is Doug Zeitlin, co-executive producer of Twerps and the man who taught me how to be a geek. You heard that, world. It's all his fault. I wanted to grow up loving football and tracking sports statistics, but he wouldn't let me!
Ha! I taught you the names of the Star Trek episodes.
And sparked conspiracy theories like Dr. Pulaski really was a Romulan spy!
Ask Nagulum. She's different than everybody else on the cast.
Now, before we start getting into debates about how many different ways Star Trek The Next Generation is superior to Star Trek Voyager, let's get started with the show.
If it makes you feel better, Star Trek Voyager is still better than Flash Gordon.
No. Flash Gordon may still have some potential. After all, Mythbusters have proven that you can polish a turd. For last year's 12 Trek Days of Christmas, we did a advanced preview of what we thought the new Star Trek film was going to be like. At that time, we thought it would have been out by now. Instead, it's been pushed back to May, and rather than talk about that yet again, we decided to focus in on a different aspect of Trek. Specifically, the stuff that's actually produced by people who love what Gene Roddenberry created and try their best to uphold his memory. In other words, the fans.
I agree that they're the people who are really keeping the show alive. Judith and Garfield Reeve Stevens of Star Trek Enterprise always shown a keen interest in the original interpretation of Star Trek, no matter what generation that they're writing in. That doesn't always work out well. Mike Logan, who wrote Star Trek Nemesis, brilliant writer and an awesome Star Trek fan, and he wrote a huge turd.
But then the question has to be asked is, how much of what we actually saw on screen was his work, and how much of it was Berman stomping all over what he had originally done?
If it looks like a Rick Berman and it smells like a Rick Berman, it's probably a huge stinking pile of Rick Berman.
But we're not opinionated at all, folks.
But of course I digress. This is about people who've kept the spirit alive since the 1960s. The fans who wrote in and refused to let NBC cancel the show. The people who showed up and spent a lot of money on Star Trek the Motion Picture, even though it was a mediocre piece of work. People who continued on with the series, whether it was an animated form, or whether it was a Next Generation, or whether it's Voyager or Enterprise. Those people who are there with the feeling and the life of Star Trek itself.
And the people that we will be focusing in on today, the people who have put together their own fan films and their own fan audio dramas, they are the next generation of these same types of people. The people who have a passion for Star Trek, who love it, who breathe it, and want to see this dream continue. Even 10 years ago, the idea of people putting together television shows and broadcasting them over the internet was a very foreign concept. Within that past decade, independent filmmakers have been cropping up on the internet on a very regular basis, and there have been several groups that have gotten together and created their own Star Trek shows. There are about as many different ways of doing a Star Trek show as there have been Star Trek shows.
Again, one of the wonderful things about Star Trek is it really is this universe that tries to include everybody. So each of us with our own creative spirit out there, and I have to say us, for full disclosure, obviously, Jim and I are the co-executive producers of Star Trek Eras. Those of us who want to see this continue, that we are so all-inclusive that we can each take our own spin on this universe and still come up with something unique and new, and something that we want to share with people. And because of the modern age that we're living in, not only do we have these ideas to express, but we have new ways to express them. Really, the internet has given us everything that we need. We can do the radio programs, we can do short movies, we can do fan films. I mean, there's so much opportunity to present our ideas to a wide audience around the world. We have a better opportunity to show a fan work now than the networks had to show professional work 40 years ago.
Delving into some of these shows, the first two that we want to discuss are both filmed using green screen technology. They put up a green screen, they throw a couple of pieces of furniture into the scene for people to react with, and the rest of it is all CGI. Again, technology that wasn't even there 20 years ago. But yet, in Hollywood, it's becoming the new rage. Films like The Spirit, 300, Sin City all use this exact same technology.
And whereas they're spending millions of dollars on these high-tech, big blockbuster movies, this can be done on a fan budget now. You could get a home video camera, a green bed sheet, and a piece of $100 software, and you're up and ready to go.
These two shows are Star Trek Hidden Frontier and Star Trek Intrepid. Of the shows that are out there, Hidden Frontier is one of the oldest. It has already gone through 7 years of broadcasting with its original show, Hidden Frontier, and has started up 3 spin-offs from that one show, Star Trek Odyssey, Star Trek The Helena Chronicles, and Star Trek Federation One. Again, we want to remind you that this is all put together by a group of average people who just have a passion for writing, acting, being creative, and Star Trek.
We're in no way trying to belittle anybody. This is not trying to say, oh, this is just a fan show. We're saying people who might think of themselves as, oh, I'm just a fan, they're more. Here are people on shoestring budgets that are putting together really marvelous pieces of fiction.
The use of their fans is in no way, shape, or form a put-down. In fact, I see it more as a compliment that they are able to put together such quality material without the big budgets, without the studio backing, without the big-name stars.
You're talking about the CGI. When you look at the CGI on something like Hidden Frontiers, it may not be Frank Miller multi-million dollar budget, but it's so much better than anything the networks can come up with for the original Star Trek. I mean, they're really high-tech, very well-done special effects.
And based on some of the clips that I've seen of some of these Hollywood green screen movies, I don't know, they might actually be better.
For those of you who have listened for a while, you know that even recent work out of Industrial Light and Magic has not been up to their usual high standards.
The original show, Star Trek Hidden Frontier, was based out of Deep Space 12 and its flagship, the USS Excelsior, which was a modified Galaxy-class ship. They brought in original characters. They even brought in a couple of guest appearance characters. Risha Denny stepped in and took over the role of Elizabeth Shelby, who was featured in the episode Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and 2 on Star Trek The Next Generation. And Joanne Bush has been playing the part of Robin Leffler for the longest period of time on the show. And both women have just done excellent jobs with these one-shot roles. They've taken the characters, they've made them their own, and I think that they've done excellent work. And they're just two of this marvelous cast. In many ways, I think they had the biggest hurdle to overcome because they were taking a part that was already established by a different actor and had to shape it and mold it into something that they could call their own. The rest of the actors were playing characters that they were creating, and in no way does that belittle their work, but I think these two women really stand out in what they accomplished by taking on these pre-established roles.
I agree that that is probably the biggest challenge, and they've done a great job with it.
As I said earlier, Hidden Frontier ran for 7 seasons, and the production staff decided, you know, we want to kind of expand a little bit, want to go in some different directions. So that particular series had a series finale, and they created 3 new shows, Star Trek Odyssey, Helena Chronicles, and Federation One. Both Odyssey and Helena Chronicles pick up immediately after the series finale, and both of them kind of revolve around the relationship between two characters. Ro Nevin, who is the brother of Ro Laren from Next Generation, and Corey Astor, his husband. Much in the spirit of the original Star Trek, Hidden Frontier took a controversial subject, put it into the arena of science fiction, and told a very poignant story of a gay relationship. Odyssey picks up after the two have been married, and Nevin has been assigned to the Odyssey, which gets catapulted across the galaxy into the Andromeda sector of space. It is called Odyssey for a reason. They have based a lot of the concept on Odysseus, and it is about these two characters who love one another, who are just working on trying to reconnect with one another. Astor is on the USS Helena, and as Nevin is trying to work his way back to Federation space, Astor is trying to find a way to help him get back faster. and in general just trying to find out what happened to him. Federation 1 is more of a political storyline and has just begun. But again, they have shown a talent for creating strong storylines and things that have a bearing on what's going on today.
This is what Star Trek, the original series, did in the 1960s. Here we've got a group of fans doing the same thing again. Is it art imitating life, life imitating art? But there's still issues, there's still challenges that face us as a society, and we have a platform that we can discuss them on and entertain them at the same time.
On a personal note, between this show and Star Trek, The New Voyages, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, these were the shows that originally convinced me that I wanted us to get involved in producing our own Star Trek shows. It was through viewing these shows that I realized, hey, we've got ideas too. We can follow up on them. We just need to find our medium. Hidden Frontier has also been known to positively influence other shows as well. Star Trek Intrepid is a show created in Scotland, and they have actually managed to partner up with Hidden Frontier. They've taken the idea of working with green screen, and they also do some shooting on location, but they've met up with the people from Hidden Frontier. They get together annually to play paintball with them and to film special episodes. They've gotten to the point where Hidden Frontier is now doing mini-movies with Intrepid, doing crossovers between the two. There have been two of them to date. Being the American pigs that we are, I find it incredibly entertaining to be hearing all these actors doing Star Trek with very strong Scottish brogues when I'm so used to American culture being so...
ethnocentric?
Yes. So I just think it's wonderful. I can't wait for some of the productions that are starting up in Germany and other places around the world. I can't wait to see their take on the show.
Yes, on the original Star Trek, there was a person from Russia and a person of African descent. But as open as it was for the 1960s, it was still kind of an ethnocentric, as hard as they tried. Again, no digs. But there's no reason why there isn't a starship out there filled with German-speaking individuals. Why isn't there an Arabic vessel? Why isn't there an Australian vessel?
Why are all the universal translators set to American English as opposed to German or Hindu or African or Egyptian?
In a world now where many, many people have access to the internet and computers and video cameras, we can actually create a universe where, just looking on the internet, you can follow one week the show of the people who speak with Midwestern American accents. The next week you could follow the ones who have Scottish or English or Irish accents, and the next week you can watch a show that's entirely in German and you have to read the subtitles to understand it. Not if you're German, but if you're two idiots sitting recording Twerpcast, you do.
Both of these shows are done on green screen. On the other hand, we do have some shows that have gone that extra mile. They have built their own sets. They've gone through and meticulously recreated the bridge of the USS Enterprise. One such show is Star Trek Phase 2, which up until this past summer was also known as Star Trek The New Voyages. They've taken the name Phase 2 from what was originally going to be the relaunch of Star Trek on TV.
Ultimately, what was Star Trek Phase 2 developed into Star Trek The Motion Picture.
And this show is the continuing voyages of Kirk and his crew. Fan actors, some of which do have professional acting credits, but for the most part they're doing it because they're fans. That's one other thing about this. Most of the shows that we're talking about here are doing it for the love of the show. They're not making money off of this. They're not hawking DVDs. It's strictly they love the show and they've done their productions for it. To be honest, of all the video productions that we are talking about today, I have to say Star Trek Phase 2 is the best. That's not disparaging Hidden Frontiers or Intrepid or any of the others that we're going to be talking about. But Star Trek Phase 2 does take the bar and raise it to incredible levels. And the Star Trek community has seen it and they've recognized it. Phase 2 went from being strictly a fan-based show to getting Star Trek alumni involved and wanting to be part of their projects. Again, not getting paid, just doing it for the love of it. DC Fontana has stepped forward and given them a script to film. They've had guest appearances by Walter Koenig, by George Takei, Grace Lee Whitney, Denise Crosby is going to be appearing in the near future. Big name Star Trek stars have come to them and said, we like what you're doing, we want to be a part of it. You can't argue with that level of success.
I don't think it's a competition. I guess if you're saying, do they have the highest level of production value? Do they have formal actors that come in? Yeah, that's absolutely true. I just don't want to say that there's a competition going on between Star Trek Phase 2 and Hidden Frontiers. It's just a level playing field as far as I'm concerned.
They're both wonderful shows. Saying Phase 2 is my favorite, I have to follow that up by also stating that the show Starship Farragut, another set work series, has probably the best written episode that I've seen. And as much as I loved the Sulu episode from Phase 2, the Farragut episode, For Want of a Nail, is just phenomenal. I think they do a great job of sticking to continuity and at the same time being completely original with concepts and filling in holes where you didn't really think that there might have been holes. I can't say in how many ways I loved that episode. By the end of it, I just wanted to go back and watch it all over again just to pick up on anything that I might have missed. On top of that, I've met the guys behind Starship Farragut, and they're really a nice bunch of guys. The whole crew was at shore leave a year and a half ago. I got the chance to meet them, and it was nice to interact with people who are fans, just like you are. There's no ego involved, just good-natured, friendly people. There are a couple of other shows that, while they helped inspire us to start doing these types of shows, they haven't released anything recently, and heaven knows if you've been following Star Trek eras, you know that we don't have the best track record.
Yeah, that's certainly the pot calling the kettle black.
But these are shows that they haven't released anything recently, and we really hope that they do. The first one is Starship Exeter, again, set in the TOS era. Much like Hidden Frontier, they were one of the pioneers of Star Trek fan films going out on the internet. But they have 1 3/4 episodes out there and seem to keep on running into production problems.
That we know nothing about. That doesn't happen to us.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Exactly.
But we really hope that they do get some more material out there because, again, it's good production value, good storylines. Just not enough out there.
So do more. You pesky people with jobs. Quit them.
Because that's what we're doing. We're running right out and quitting our jobs. Not. The other one is Tales of the Seventh Fleet. As opposed to being set during the original series, these shows are set during the time frame of the first 6 films. They've got the red uniforms, still set within the 23rd century, but later than the original series. Out of all of the fanfic that's out there, it was the first series that I had actually encountered, so they do have a special place in my heart for that reason alone. And again, they have 3 episodes out there, but they haven't really released anything in the past year and a half. So again, we hope to encourage you to please make more. They've been very enjoyable. While we were talking about Phase 2, we talked about how they had brought in all these actors and the writer from the original series who have wanted to contribute things to it. In that regard alone, that series has almost made the jump from fan film to professional development. As opposed to that one, we have Star Trek of Gods of Men, and we'd be very neglect to not mention this because it is one of the highest quality shows that has been produced, but there's actually a good reason for that.
Whereas it's absolutely true that it's entirely produced and created and technically done by Star Trek fans, these all happen to be pro fans.
It's a gathering of fans like Tim Russ, Nichelle Nichols, Walter Koenig, Ethan Phillips, people who have been paid to participate in professional Star Trek productions. It doesn't negate the fact that they're fans. And Tim Russ came up with an idea of a story that he wanted to produce, and so he got his friends together and produced it.
Not the first time he's done this, but the first time it was truly set in the Star Trek universe. He has a previous production called Roddenberry on Patrol, kind of a humorous look at how Gene Roddenberry came up with the ideas for Star Trek. The main character is Gene Roddenberry as a patrol officer, which he really was, and how his daily life interacting with people, he came up with the concepts for Star Trek, and the people that star in the film just happen to be people like Michelle Nichols and Walter Koenig, etc.
So, in talking about fan films, we were obligated to talk about Of Gods and Men. On the flip side, I think even they have trouble putting themselves in the same category as these other shows that we've talked about, because
they're fans, they did it for free, but it's a pro-production.
The last live-action program that we want to hit on is Star Trek The Romulan Wars. TRW does have their first episode on YouTube. You can find it by typing in Star Trek The Romulan Wars. But they are currently working on revising and re-editing their first episode. And at that point, they're hoping to tweak their website and be able to put the episodes actually on their website. The reason we're including them in this list, A, is because, yes, they're another show, but B, they've come to us at TWRPS and have asked us for help. We've contributed voice work to their show, and we've established a semi-partnership with them as well. So please, go check out Star Trek The Romulan Wars at YouTube. All the shows that we've talked about so far have been done with live actors. It does not negate the fact that Star Trek has had a history of being an animated television show, and people have picked up on that and have decided to create their own original animated series on the internet. Star Trek Aurora has 2 of its 4 episodes finished. Again, it's set within the original series timeline, but rather than dealing with a Federation starship, it centers around the captain of a cargo vessel and her first officer, who happens to be a Vulcan. Very character-driven, and no, we did not realize that they were using the name Aurora at the same time that we were until it was too late. So, hey, no offense. Also in production is Star Trek Unity, which has released an audio prequel and is currently in development. Both of these use original artwork for their shows, but there is also another form called machinima. It's where they take clips from video games, rework dialogue, and put scenes into different orders to create a brand new production. 2 examples of this are Borg War and The Way Back. Borg War is set in a not-too-distant future of the Next Generation with Captain Picard, whereas The Way Back features crew members from both the original series and from the Next Generation. This brings us around to our neck of the woods, audio productions. I said earlier that shows like Tales of the Seventh Fleet, Star Trek Phase 2, Star Trek Hidden Frontier, all of these encouraged me to suggest that we put together Star Trek Eras. At that point, it was, wow, that would be kind of nice. It wasn't until I heard some of these audio dramas that I decided that this was actually a plausible idea, because most of us look really good on radio.
You might say I was born with a face for radio.
Yes, we say that often. The idea of myself, Doug, or Ken in those spandex jumpsuits of the Next Generation, it's just horrifying. Just take our word on it.
Radio is the theater of your mind. Just use your imagination. It's 10 times worse.
And we really had to work hard to talk Doug out of wearing the Uhura miniskirt. 2 audio production companies have been out there for several years. The first is Darker Projects. They are currently working on their 3rd Star Trek series. The first 2 were the Section 31 Files, which was an original show produced by Darker Projects. And then Star Trek Pioneers was a show that was produced by someone else, and Darker Projects offered to host and eventually just incorporated those episodes into their stable. When Section 31 ended, they started up a new series called The Lost Frontier, which takes place after the collapse of the Federation and tells the story of the crew of the Enterprise F, who are ambassadors to the new Federation trying to rebuild what was lost. With a name for your production company like Darker Projects, obviously they tend to lean towards the darker stories. Section 31, the big spy organization of the Federation, was their first choice to feature, including having specially made starships that were named after different types of vampires. very much focusing in on the darker aspects of Star Trek. Lost Frontier, the Federation has been decimated, and now they're trying to put it back together again. It's the area that they've specialized in, and they're quite good at it. Very high production quality, good writing. When I first heard the concept for Lost Frontier, I was a little bit afraid, because it reminded me just a little bit of the proposed animated series that Paramount was thinking about putting out over the internet, but it really feels as though they're heading in a good, strong direction with it. The second company, Pendant Productions, was formed by Jeffrey Bridges and a group of friends that were formed around a online Star Trek role-playing game called Star Trek Defiant. They played the game for several years before ever forming their production company. In fact, he met his wife through the game. They've been producing original audio for several years. They've taken a different direction with the show. It does not correspond with the Deep Space Nine relaunch books from Pocket, but that's okay because this is fan interpretation. They take it in a new direction, tell new stories with it. When we originally formed TWRPS, I had kind of taken the idea of Pendant as our model. It wasn't until recently that I realized, oh, they've got a staff of 50 or more, and we've got a staff of maybe a dozen. So we've realized that we can't crank things out as quickly as they can, but we do hope to adhere to their high production values. As an extra little plug for them, they have developed an Earth-P unit of stories based on DC characters. They currently produce 5 shows set within their own continuity: Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Supergirl, and Catwoman, with The Martian Manhunter in pre-production, and a 7th mystery show on the way. There have also been some shows that have come after us. While we currently only have 3 episodes out there, we've been working on this for 2+ years now, but we're hoping to get our averages up some this next year.
In all fairness to us, episode 4 is completed except for post-production.
In that time, 3 new audio shows have debuted on the internet: Star Trek Excelsior, Star Trek The Continuing Mission, and Star Trek Diplomatic Relations. There have been similarities drawn between ourselves and The Continuing Mission. It's set within the Next Generation time frame, but dealing with characters who have been flung forward in time. Again, dealing with multiple generations of the Star Trek franchise.
We haven't actually had the time travel episode yet. And yes, believe me, it's coming.
Doug took great joy in writing that one.
For those of you listening who may be aware of shows that perhaps were inadvertently left out, we're not trying to exclude you. At the end, we always encourage feedback. We'd love to have it. Even if you're not included in this show, we will certainly consider you for mention of future TWRPcasts.
We've also made sure that all the shows we've discussed today are available on our links page. We highly encourage all of our listeners to pop over there and check out some of these other shows that we've talked about.
And that's kind of the point, is Christmas is a time for sharing, and here we're sharing a little bit with you of what encouraged us to create Star Trek Eras, and if we can get a little promotion in for some of the other shows, which are just fabulous out there, please tell them we sent you.
And in the end, we really want to make sure that that point gets out. All of these shows are excellent shows. We thoroughly enjoy them, and we personally want to thank each and every one of them for contributing not only to the Star Trek universe as a whole, but for giving us encouragement to do what we are doing. So on that feel-good note, we'd like to finish things up by wishing everyone a Merry Christmas,
Happy Hanukkah,
a cool Kwanzaa,
and a Happy New Year. As always, we encourage your feedback. Please write to jim@twrponline.net.
TWRPcast is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2008. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't eat too many candy canes.
God bless us, one and all.